Welcome to Raw Mind Sports, where we dig into the minds of athletes and sports fanatics. I'm your host, Ryan Primetime Jones. If you have a love and passion for sports, then this is the show for you.
Well, I'd like to welcome back my guy, TJ Harrell. We're going to give you some intriguing topics today on this show and the latest sports news right now. Starting with TJ Harrell. How do you feel about LeBron heading to Hollywood?
Oh, man. That's one thing I was really on the fence about. You know, I'm a diehard L.A. fan. I've been an L.A. fan forever. And I've been a heavy LeBron critic for a while. So this move I'm still on the fence about, but I like it. I like the move Magic made. I understand why LeBron did it, you know what I mean, as far as business go and, you know what I mean, family go. So I respect it. And I just hope he understand that, you know, coming to L.A. is winning culture. You know what I mean? We all about winning. So, you know, as long as he keep that in mind, I think year 16 should be good. He's surrounded by a lot of young talent, a lot of scrappy guys, a lot of guys that can create for themselves. I don't think I ever seen LeBron around this many people that can go get their own shot. You know what I mean? He always usually the one that has to have the ball, you know, 70, 80, 90% of the time, besides when he had Kyrie at his top. But now I feel like he can give guys the ball and be like, go. He can get Lance Stevenson the ball, go. Mike Beasley the ball, go. Kuzma, Ingram, Rondo, Lonzo, he could get a ball to these guys and just tell them to go do what they do. He can kind of just sit back and take a back seat. So it's going to be an interesting year. And it's only for a year. You know, everybody we signed pretty much was under one-year contracts. I think next year the team going to look totally different. And I know Magic got some tricks up his sleeves.
Yeah.
but this year, you know, I don't think the expectation is to go to the finals. I mean, I think at best, you know, we go to the Western Conference Finals. But you never know what'll happen, you know.
I agree to a lot of things. Things like you say about L.A., him being in L.A. I feel like the point of him being in L.A., L.A. Lakers, New York Yankees, Boston Celtics, even America's team at times, even though they the worst, Cowboys, you know, 49ers, Pittsburgh, and I can go to Green Bay because the Super Bowl trophy is named after them. Those guys, even though he went there on a business move and it was best for business and for him to expand as a brand, Laker fans ain't trying to hit it. Lakers want to know, want you to win. Win. They are already, it's been rough these past few years. They haven't had a chance to win. Now you have Golden State, you know, being dominant back-to-back champs. Then they got a guy, you know, DeMarcus Cousins. And now you're asking them to be able to compete with Golden State. They are pretty much restless. They ready to win with ifs, ands, and buts, which I know, like you said, Magic Johnson has a trick up his sleeve. He knows what it takes. He knows where he's going to get other players next year. But the team he got right now, honestly, I think they can get to the Western Conference Finals. Because, like you said, the outlet passing, out in transition, Golden State beating Golden State, you know, that's a little push. Realistic, if everybody's healthy. You know, but I think defensively, the Lakers could be one of the best teams in basketball. Because of the length, they play team defense. I've seen LeBron take a team with the Cleveland Cavaliers, possibly with just Kevin Love last year to the championship. Could have won game one without a mistake. And you asking him, he actually, like you just said, has a much better team. But people laughing and joking. Right now, Magic Johnson, a few players will be back next year. But like you said, the team is going to be completely different.
The huge difference is, though, is being on the West.
Yeah.
You got to play those teams in the West four times versus the two times now.
Right.
So
coaching strategies and stuff going to be rough.
It's going to be a whole lot different ball game seeing Golden State four times a year, seeing Portland four times a year, seeing Houston four times a year. Like, that's – that stuff can wear you out, man.
Do you think that's a good or a bad thing? Like saying, because even though he played them two times a year, do you think that they helped him in the playoffs by the fact they played them four times? Maybe they helped them with better adjustments in the playoffs?
I think it's going to help him because he's a student. So him getting to see your sets four times a year, explaining it to his team. But those high IQ guys like Rondo, Lonzo, and LeBron, you playing them four times a year and them getting to study your sets and study your strategy and study what you want to do.
Right.
That could be a problem later on in the year because all that intel that they're taking in and going out there and apply it, you know, LeBron is some of the best at that. And actually, you know, having those high IQ guys remembering that stuff, it could be a problem.
It can. So, next topic right here. PG goes back to OKC. How do you feel? Because I'm pretty sure you're a Lakers fan. You probably just knew he was coming to L.A.
Absolutely. Absolutely thought he was coming home. You know, I think he was frustrated about that the trade didn't go through. And I think that 1 year OKC, so I'm like, okay, after this year they got eliminated first round. I'm like, oh, he's definitely coming home. So that was definitely a surprise to me in the fashion that he did it. He didn't even take a meeting with us. So I don't know what that says about about PG, I'm still on the fence about it because I'm like, OKC not gonna win nothing. They're not strapped enough to beat, you know, hardly anybody in the West in the 7-game series. So for him to go back there, I mean, it says a lot about Russell. Everybody said nobody wants to play with Russell, so I think that looks good for Russell. But I don't quite understand that move at all. I mean, he had a chance to come to LA and play with Bron. Like, that would have been monstrous. But I don't think he wanted that pressure, for real, for real. But I don't know. I guess it's cool, but I don't get it. I'm going to be honest. I don't get it.
This is where I finally come to my senses to say, like, Paul George, like you just said, don't want pressure. I agree. Because he wanted to win a championship. He had a chance to contend for a championship in LA. Then this is also what comes into play with me. Sam Presti must be selling dreams. Because, like, I'm still baffled that the fact that Sam Presti still got Paul George State. That 1 year, he must have found a way to understand Paul George or to get Paul George what he wanted. Or three, the fact that LeBron got $154 million and possibly maybe Paul George felt like he could have got more at OKC. That's the only thing I can think of.
It can't be about the money at this point. We had Max Lott. He could have got the max deal. We had a max contract open for him. So he could have got the money in L.A., being at home, having a chance to contend. But he didn't even take the meeting, though. I said if he took it, he just announced it at Russell Westbrook party at his crib. Like, yo, I'm going back home. Like, I don't think it was – I don't know if it was a financial thing. I think it was – I don't know. I think he built the brotherhood there. I think he liked how they embraced him. And I think that felt welcome to him. You know, OKC crowd is amazing. You know, their fans are amazing. So I think he was just like they really opened arms and welcomed him there. And I think he just liked it and he appreciated it. And I think he didn't want to – seeing what Russ went through with KD and the letdown and the leaving, I don't think he wanted to take Russ through that. I think it was more emotional than anything.
Right.
He took versus more, a business move.
I got you. He basically took more emotional move to keep himself there and to keep peace and at the same time not to put – I guess he looked out for Russell Westbrook in a way to keep pressure off of him. Because if he would have left, there's no telling. Nobody else probably, no other elite player would probably want to play with Russ after that. It's two players that leave. You got KD to leave. Mm-hmm. Then you get Paul George to leave. And they probably in the top five, top ten, as I can say. We can both agree to that. And you leave Russell Westbrook, the MVP, Mr. Triple-Double. That makes a lot of elite players not want to go to OKC. Not even just the market. The market is small. It's I guess it's the principle of the why and why I should stay.
I'm going to tell you what I do like about it, though. I like Dennis Schroeder going over
there. Yes, yes, yes.
I like that move.
Yes. That's where Sam Presti comes in. We'll get to that in a little bit. That's why I say Sam Presti knows how to get what he wants.
I like that move. Getting Melo off the books, bringing in Dennis Schroeder. I think he's going to cook.
Right, off that bench.
Under Westbrook. I think they're going to have him in the game at the same time. I think Westbrook will be in the game at the same time. I don't think he's going to start, but I think it's going to be a lot of times we see both of them on the court at the same time.
I guess.
And those two speed demons coming at you.
Right.
With PG on that wing is dangerous.
Right. Cause I said to myself, I was thinking about like Anthony Robeson. But this is the thing with me with Anthony Robeson. Anthony Robeson is the most unorthodox shooting guard I've ever seen in my life. He can't shoot. All he can do, he's a hell of a defender. He can't shoot free throws. It ain't two of the shooting guards that can't knock down certain jumpers.
Hey, if he healthy, though,
right.
OKC looks totally different.
Yeah, because the defense was sky high. But when he left, it plummeted.
Ain't nobody for Donovan Mitchell.
Right.
Not a soul for Donovan Mitchell.
He would have been the one that took the road.
Right. And I ain't saying he can stop him too, but I think he'll slow him down a little bit.
Right, right. So tell me, TJ, since the LeBron effect is over in the Eastern Conference, who's your favorite team in the Eastern Conference to come out of the East?
I think the cliche thing, everybody going to say Boston, right? If they healthy, they got Kyrie back, Gordon Hayward back, of course, Boston. But my sleeper team, I think Toronto got better. They was already strapped. They had the best bench. They lost DeRozan, but they gained Kawhi. Kawhi's a better player than DeRozan to me, a better defender, also a better offensive player, a more clutch player. He ain't scared of the big moments. He ain't scared of nobody. And his homeboy, Danny Green, who one of the, you know, he's a great shooter and a great defender. I think they got better. I think if those guys get their mind like together and say, we want to win and we're going to win this year, they want to play, and they ball out, Toronto, they're not to be slept on.
I agree. This is my disagreement, though. Boston being deep, and I still go with Boston. Reason why? Because you said on the earlier show, I'm going to get you on this one. Mm-hmm. Kyle Lowry getting missing in the playoffs. And if Kyrie healthy,
That's the wrong time to not get missed. I mean, to get missing in the playoffs.
Okay. My thing is this, even if Kyle Lowry gets missing, and then you see DeRozan get missing, this Kawhi guy don't get missing, man.
No, he don't. He don't.
That's a whole different animal you got on your team now. That if he see that Kyle Lowry get missing, he got that takeover attitude and that takeover. He's quiet, but he still got that takeover impact of the game on both sides of the game, offense and defense, that I think could change the culture. You know what I mean?
So do you think with Kawhi Leonard going to Toronto, healthy Kawhi Leonard, and healthy Boston, let's say, Kawhi Leonard would probably have to play 48 minutes for them to sustain because of the fact you got to deal with Jason Tatum, Gordon Hayward, Jaylen Brown. And those guys are getting rest within the game. Kawhi Leonard will probably have to stay out there the whole game to even sustain, to be able to stop one of them guys.
And Brad Stevens, one of the best coaches in the league.
Yeah.
So at this point in time, I probably would take Brad Stevens because he would know how to handle that situation. But all I'm saying is Boston is the favorites, but don't sleep on Toronto.
I got you. Since we just discussed about Kawhi going to Toronto and DeMar going to San Antonio, how do you feel about this trade? Which one was the better move? For what team?
I think it works out for both teams. I just don't like the fashion and the how they did DeMar. I think he put in so much for the organization for 9 years, 8-9 years. I think they could have told him, just had that communication. I'm all about, you know what I mean, just open communication. And, you know, it's a business. Everybody understands business. So, you know, that's a business move going to have to be made. But I just don't like how that organization handled things. First, from firing their coach, who was coach of the year. Those guys were number one in the East last year. LeBron with their kryptonite. We all know that. Now, LeBron gone. Think about if they would have kept their team together and their coach together. With no LeBron, I think they probably would be, even though Boston Health would probably be the favorites. But, you know, like I said, we couldn't sleep on Toronto. But I think it'll work out in both of their favors if Kawhi stays. But right now, Spurs got better than they did last year because they have DeMar there. And they got Poto too. I like that kid coming off the bench.
Right.
And I think Toronto got better for this year, you know, with Danny Green and Kawhi. So I think it works out if Kawhi stays. And if Kawhi leaves, then it was a bad trade. You know what I'm saying?
Here's my thing with those two situations. The press situation, the GM, like you were saying a few minutes ago about, you know, DeMar, they didn't do DeMar right when I tell them. I look at it like this. The GM knew the whole time. He probably had to say it in a professional way without telling him. But I guess he figured, I don't think that GM had confidence that this trade was going to pull off. To me, this is the next question. If they don't succeed now, I feel like the GM will be fired. I feel like Toronto GM is going out the door.
Probably should.
Yeah. So I'm looking at it from that way. He didn't know how to handle that situation. He probably had a lot of pressure on him. He then fired the coach.
Okay, even still, if it's that, then have that communication. They said the dude had just talked to him 2 days ago. Came to the summer league to check out the new Toronto guys. And if he's like, if I'm on the chopping block, talk about it. This is the trade that we've been thinking about having. Now, that trade just didn't happen
overnight. Right.
It had been in communication. It had to be in communication.
Right.
Just say, well, we're thinking about getting Kawhi. Let them know that. If that communication is open, then cool, does it? But you know what I'm saying? Don't tell him you're not going to be traded for sure, and then 2 days later, you just spray that upon him. That's kind of wax sauce.
I feel like with that situation, with that GM, the fact he owed that loyalty to DeMar, because DeMar signed back into a contract. Now, earlier last year or the year before, whatever, when he didn't sign back, he could have went on his merry way. DeMar could went to L.A. But I feel like they owe him that at least to tell him the truth. Like you're saying, now most GMs probably wouldn't say it because most time you tell a guy they going to get traded, and what the trade don't happen and the trade don't go well for the other team that's in the trade, the guy might sit out. And then now bad sauce, lost juice, I've got struggle juice. Now you're in a struggle juice situation.
Yeah. Wow, because dude, he didn't even take no meetings. Like, he wanted to come to L.A., but he didn't take no meetings with nobody. Sooner than that, announced he was afraid. He automatically signed. He ain't taking no meetings with nobody. That kid was loyal to that organization, man. And nobody wants to play in Toronto.
Right.
You got one person that wanted to play in Toronto.
Right.
If you look at all the superstars, they get Matt out of there, BC out of there, Chris Bosh out of there. Nobody want to play in Toronto.
Right.
That's one of the wacky places to play in the NBA. So you got a person that really dedicated his life there, spent life there. He didn't want to play nowhere else. You supposed to treat that guy golden, man. But, you know, NBA ain't got no loyalty, man.
Right. I feel like on the basketball level, though, Kawhi going to Toronto probably is good because the Kawhi market is something that's, like you say, he's humble. So that market be able to show he's in a situation now when people used to say he was a product of Greg Popovich's system.
Mm-hmm.
Now he ain't. Now we're going to really see what Kawhi going to get.
That's a fact.
And DeMar DeRozan is one of the best coaches in basketball. Greg Popovich is good at making a mediocre player look like an all-star. Now he has an all-star that he don't have to really prep. into the system, which is going to be superstar. Right. It's going to be interesting. Now they got Rudy Gay. They still got LaMarcus Aldridge. They got other players. I feel like it was the best move for both teams. I'm just ready to see what's going to happen. Let's talk about the $90 million contract by Clint Capella. How do you feel about this guy just catching his payday today?
I mean, he's been asked before. I think he did the right thing for understanding his value for that team and, you know, holding out. Because they offered him $80 million, I think, a couple weeks back. And he was like, no, he wanted $100 million. I think they came in the middle of the million, 90. I think if he played for another team, he definitely wouldn't get $90 million. You know, you got to look at what people have been signing for. Like, DeMarcus Cousins just signed for $5
million. Right.
And little Tommy just signed for $2 million. You know what I'm saying? For him, right. $90 million. He definitely received his payday. I salute him. Get your coins, big man. I think he's a pivotal point to that team. Taking me back to the Melo trade, what I said, people said I was crazy by saying Melo's going to be a fourth option or a fifth option on the team. I really meant that. I'm like, yo, these kids run pick and roll.
Right.
90% of their offense off pick and roll
right.
is James Harden, CP3, and Clint Capella's going to get that roll down before I think Melo's going right. to get that kick out. But like they said, their object is to shoot 53s a game. So I think Melo can get his shot, but I think they're just going to come when they come. You know what I mean? It ain't going to be how he think it is.
I think Melo has seen Melo years. I think it's done. But back to but as a Clint Capella in the system like he get, he deserves a $90 million in that system. I agree with you were saying that in any other system, I don't see him getting that much.
Nah.
So he should be thankful and blessed that James Harden
He should kiss Chris Paul on the forehead.
Right, because they're using him a lot. And that's why he's getting this type of money, because they're using him a lot.
His defense is incredible.
Right, I mean, right, and that's another reason. Now, that's what I was saying.
But they don't pay defensive players, though. That's what I'm saying. Like, they don't pay defensive players, even if you got
right.
defensive players don't get paid.
I think $40 million of that went to defense. $40 million of that went to his defense, and the rest was just what they saw that they needed fit. I feel like a lot of players, depending on GMs and whatever fits their system, depends on the coach. Mm-hmm. I feel like those players get the most when they're in the right system. When they ain't, things are different. I'm like that. I'm pretty much like you are. Have you got his payday? Just that simple. My hot take for you today. Who's the best GM in the NBA?
I know most of them expect me to say Magic, because that Magic he just pulled off that LeBron, you know, but no, I think that was a good move. But I gotta go with my guy Danny Ainge over there in Boston, man, to see what he done did with that team, you know, year after year, man, even with the Paul Pierce era and KG and all them, and still bringing in talent and getting those guys, making those guys competitive to the coach, you know, staff and to even, you know what I mean, getting IT off of their books and not paying him, and then getting Kyrie Irving in there and getting Gordon Hayward in there and keeping all those guys and drafting all that young talent and paying Marcus Smart. Like, he, like, pay his guys the right amount. He, like, man, them guys are stacked, man. Like, right. his drafting is great. His staffing is great, man. That guy, he busts dope moves. Like, I think I got to salute Danny Ainge.
I say the same thing. I said Danny Ainge, too, and I agree with that. I feel like Danny Ainge is a man. Then I also credit the Brooklyn Nets for whatever he found a way to discuss with them. He got a lot of those draft picks off of the Brooklyn Nets, which was crazy. Like, get rid of, you know, Paul, Joel, Jane, KD, KG. So he got some draft picks out there to build for the future. A lot of people told me he was crazy to get rid of guys. But, I mean, I get what he was doing.
That was over at that time.
Right.
You know, they
had, so I don't know why
they had ran his course.
Right. So I feel like that. My sleeper GM will be what I talked about earlier, Sam Presti. I'm still trying to figure out how he – even though he found a way to get what he want out of Melo, got Melo to Atlanta, and developed Melo eventually, you know, of course, in Houston. And then he went and got Schrader. He got a good pickup for Melo to fit whatever system they running. Then he found a way to sell the American dream or the dream to keep Paul George there. I'm saying to myself, like, and this has been going on for years.
Yeah. But I think if we got to mention, though, I'd be crazy not to mention the Warriors to see what they did, kid. Their whole... Yo, matter of fact, I can't say Danny Ainge. You gotta go to Warriors GM. See what they drafted? You gotta think they drafted Steph. They drafted Klay. They drafted Draymond. And everything else was just picks putting Andre Iguodala in as a veteran piece. Mm-hmm. And all those pieces that he put around those guys were just complete. That's a complete team. Then they brought in KD. I don't even know how you bring in a top five player in the world. Then they just brought in Boogie. You can rest, my guy. Get yourself rest. Like, man.
I think
it's a monstrous GM over there.
I think with him, with the draft picks, correct. And I feel like that KD move, to me, was a luck of the draw. Because nobody didn't ever think that. Nobody ever thought that KD would leave OKC before. I mean, before that happened. Like, really. Did you really think that he would leave OKC to go there?
Absolutely not.
That's what I'm saying. So I felt like that was just a blessing. And then after that, everybody else just came after. I mean, it's not a hard sell as a GM. Look, all you got to do is sit in front of them. Look, we done won. We done been to championship 4 years.
Yeah, but you got
to
build that.
Right, right, right.
They built that, bro. Like, they built that from the door. Like, that wasn't no...
I agree.
Bringing these... Golden State wasn't on nobody radar years ago.
Right,
when the Lakers was winning what they was winning, when the Spurs was winning when they was winning, when the Celtics was winning what they was winning, when LeBron and the Heat was doing that.
Right.
Like, Dallas was one of the best teams in the
league. Right.
Golden State kind of came out of nowhere. Cause they had Monte Ellis and Steph. Them. Those guys wasn't... Oh, they had a good team, too, when they had Baron Davis and
those
guys.
Right.
And they won. They beat the eights. They beat the number one seed that year.
Yeah.
And they was going that way. But then that broke off. They came back out of nowhere to reach to the top. And they're there. And they're not going nowhere. Because they like...
I agree. I agree because they went to the championship without those guys and won the championship. My thing was once KD got there. Like, I agree with you saying on the built, the foundation built, the infrastructure. It was built. Yeah, he built that.
Built that, bro.
I'm just talking about the extra. It's the cheeseburger with the cheese and the onions and the ketchup. Yeah. That's what came to the table when you brought KD to the table. And Boogie Cousins could have had a chance to sign back with a torn ACL injury, 2 years for $40 million back with the New Orleans Pelicans, to sign a 1 year deal for $5 million to Golden State. That lets you know that winning tradition matters to certain players. And that's what Bob Myers is selling now, the winning tradition.
And the culture of the team, look how they play.
Yeah, they play so unselfish.
Everybody's unselfish. They're not worried about who doing what, who getting what, who doing MVP, who doing what. Them guys just ball out, man, share the ball. They look like they make it fun. I think that's one thing that sold KD and sold a lot of these guys.
Right. And I said the same thing. Like, do you ever notice every shot Golden State gets, everybody always say the jump shot. The offense is built off of Steph because he can shoot the ball. Not saying it's built, but I'm just saying the floor spacing is built. With the offense they run now with Steve Kerr, better with running with Mark Jackson. Everybody gets a great shot. Like, it's not a bad shot them guys take. Every now and then, maybe KD will take a fourth shot, but every shot they take are good shots. Even if it's the back door pick and roll where the guy is getting just an easy dunk. Or Klay Thompson getting open in the corner. Or, you know, Steph hitting a few moves during the shot clock. But after that, every shot is a great shot. I've never seen an offense that had every shot that was available. You know, most people are like, that's not a good shot. That's a bad shot. It ain't too many shots I can say Golden State take to say it's a bad shot. It's a shot you're supposed to take within your office and your system. Another random topic for you. Better net worth or soon to be better net worth. LeBron James or Michael Jordan?
If we speaking on dollars, like just straight dollars, I think ultimately LeBron will be there because now they throwing out money. Like before, they wasn't throwing Jordan in these type of funds. Like LeBron signed almost $100 million as a 17, 18 year old. You know what I'm saying? Like the money he get, his endorsements is crazy, but all the stuff that, and he just moved to LA because so all his endeavors, his, you know, all his businesses, and you know, this guy's got entertainment industry. He got all types of stuff that he got going on that's just, I think, and being in LA up under Magic Tool is one of the biggest icons of businessmen in the world. Like getting that training and that, you know what I mean, that tutelage, I think he's gonna far beyond pass him dollar wise.
Right.
But if we're talking about culture, MJ the GOAT, man.
Yeah.
MJ the GOAT. It's years and years later, MJ and picked up a basketball and his name is still relevant every single day. You know what I'm saying? Like his culture, it goes beyond like MJ's. You know, he's still going to get money, but I think LeBron is going to get it in so many different ways.
And that's why I said too, I can't even debate about this topic. Like I agree. Everything you just said was pretty much what I would say. And the thing about it, like they said, I think LeBron, once he decides to hang up his basketball shoes, he can possibly own an NFL team and an NBA team.
That's what
I feel like, because Michael Jordan was the first owner in the NBA to ever be an owner without being a billionaire. And it took him a few years to get there. He wasn't there instantly.
Right.
So I'm looking at all the other avenues that LeBron has. Like, this dude got avenues everywhere. Everybody always try to preach about the championship stuff. I'm looking at LeBron's mind from where he's at. Like, he loves the championships, but LeBron loves his money.
Absolutely.
So I'm looking at how he's touching every avenue he could possibly touch whenever he get the chance. So when people say and debate about him being the GOAT in basketball, the true GOAT that's on his mind is being the GOAT of business, being the GOAT of running his own businesses, being the GOAT of being an owner. I think that's the GOAT he's trying to chase.
No, I think he still want to be the
GOAT. I mean, yeah, of course. I mean, everybody wants that. I mean, I'm not saying he can't pass that.
I think he done gave up now. I think he just said at this point in time, his legacy going to be what it is. I think he's comfortable with his legacy now. That LA move telling me he's comfortable.
Right.
With what he did and how much he done put in, how much work he done put in, I think he's comfortable. I don't think he's, he done broke almost every record statistically.
Right.
A couple more that he's chasing down. He not going to win the ring record. That's why he tried to, you know, do all this other stuff and get all these other stats. But I think he's pretty comfortable.
But my question to you, if you were LeBron and you were trying to chase the GOAT or whatever, which area would you go to in your mind? Because I know if you were LeBron, you would get tired of hearing the Jordan comparisons every day too. And you know you got hit busting your butt. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, how would you feel? Would you still say, I'm trying to goat chase as a basketball player? Or would you say, I'm trying to goat chase as a businessman? If you know that's always in your face every day, like you said, every year.
Man, you chasing a ghost. MJ's a ghost, so you can't, you're never gonna, like, whole set of line, you know.
Yeah.
You know, they got him fighting a ghost. You know, MJ's a ghost, bro. You can't, yeah. You can't chase a ghost. Like, and everybody, Michael Jordan was, he was Jesus, and you know what I mean? Right. Like, he's a ghost. Like, he's like Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't. You're never gonna pass Jesus. It don't matter what LeBron does.
Right.
You can't pass Jesus, man. I don't care statistically what he's gonna do.
Right.
Like, even if he win two more rings in LA, he's MJ's the GOAT. You know what I mean? So it just, I think he just gotta be comfortable in his own skin, know that he put in the work and you know, just do the best he can do. And, you know, at this point in time, just make the best business moves for your family and just trying to do other stuff, like possibly play with your son and just create other stuff and do other things that MJ couldn't do. You know what I'm saying? But as far as just picking up a basketball and playing a game, you never gonna, you can't pass Jesus, man.
NFL topic. We're going to the NFL right now.
Okay.
Todd Gurley gets his payday. How do you think Le'Veon Bell should feel about this, even though Todd Gurley won the offensive NFL offensive player of the year?
Hey, one thing. First off, we got to say salute, my boy Todd. You know, Rock Nation in the building. 252 in the building. Todd in the building, man.
Yeah.
Just to see my guy get paid, you know what I'm saying? It's just inspiring to our community.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It is.
To show the kids and even adults that we can be anything I want to be. And if we stay down until we come up, you know what I'm saying? Payday, you know what happens. So shout out to Todd for getting his money, man. I'm happy for my bro.
Right.
And Le'Veon Bell, I think he should feel how he felt. He knew his value. He knew what he was worth. He knew he was a pivotal part of the offense, both out of the backfield, running and catching out of the backfield.
Right.
I think whatever he asked for, he deserved it. I also see Pittsburgh side of things too. They're a throwing team. They throw the ball, you know what I mean, a lot of times. But I think he takes a lot of pressure off of those receivers. So I understand both sides of it as far as it being a business too. They feel like a running back could be expendable. But that guy, he's like that. I don't know too many people that's catching the ball out of the backfield that well and running the ball that well. Even though that line is very great to give him that patience to do that weird, awkward running style he has, you know, got to salute their line too. But I think he understands his value. I don't know if he'll be as successful on another team, as same thing kind of like basketball we're talking about, you know what I'm saying? Being in that system, will he be valued that much in another system? I don't know. But I think what he's asking for, I don't think, you know, especially seeing what Ty just got paid, why not?
It's on the, I agree. And I say the same thing, like, they should be able to pay him the money he is. Like, just looking at Le'Veon Bell, Ty Gurley got his money and it was well-deserved from my hometown. But looking at Le'Veon Bell, I think he's more so trying to get paid as the best player. Like you say, it's both arguments. Like you say, it's like a crazy situation. You need Le'Veon Bell to be successful because he creates mismatches. He also allows Juju Schuster and Antonio Brown to get open on the field because his ability to get the man off of them, to get them open on the field. Now, he's not in the backfield, and you're asking guys that play that role that just are handoff running backs or 5-yard screen running backs. Le'Veon Bell go down the field, you can throw a 20-yard pass, probably 30-yard pass to him.
Right.
We can change. He can change the game.
You got a game plan for him. That's why I think you have to game plan for him and his ability to catch out of the backfield. Like Ty too, you got a game plan for stuff like that. You can't go out there blind side of the thing. You're guarding the run. You got a game plan for this guy coming out of the backfield. That's a pivotal point in you know what I mean, in another team strategy. Like, that kid's worth what he's asking for. I think they should have paid him. But I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting now to see, you know, what's going to come about that. But he said it might be his last year in Pittsburgh.
Right.
So I want to see how can that those dynamics affect their year this year. You know what I'm saying?
And I felt like even though he got that $70 million contract, it wasn't as much guaranteed in that $70 million as much as what Ty
got. Ty got 45.
Right. Guaranteed. So my thing is, I'm going to hit you with a question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Le'Veon Bell, on Raw Mind Sports people, I'm putting the pressure on, they lay down bed, she get more than our hometown guy, Todd Gurley.
can't say. I can't. I can't really. It's hard to say. I don't know. I can't really say. It's kind of hard to say.
Yeah, it is. I know.
Because they're two different type of players, and I think Rams going to be more of a run first. You know what I mean?
Right.
I think Pittsburgh can say, look, we ain't running the ball that much. You know what I mean? We're going to throw the ball. You're not going to get that many carries. We're looking to throw the ball. They have that one dynamic wide receiver. Like, Antonio Brown, like, this is our guy. This is what we do. We got Big Ben. We like to throw the ball. We want to go to Bennett, which I think they just let him go, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And we want to go to, Juju. And we got Juju's emerging. So they want to throw the ball. They want to get Juju involved. I think they're focused more on throwing. So I think they value him less.
I think that's
versus a Rams who's like, no, this is our guy.
I think that's why Big Ben and Ty Haley has so many problems. Cause I think Ty Haley is more of a screen back type of guy, offensive coordinator, which made Le'Veon Bell look amazing. So now they got the quarterback coach being the offensive coordinator, which means Big Ben can actually say, this is what I want to do. Him and that guy have been together for years. So Big Ben can probably say, hold, we ain't going to do this play like this. We're going to do it like this. Right. And you know, it's probably a big difference. And Ty Haley won those bulls as offensive coordinator. On offensive coordinator, you can do what I say. That's what been pretty much getting him dominant for years and stuff, is that the fact that he was able to dominate with the offensive guy. A lot of people still complain like Ty Haley won this, Ty Haley won that. Y'all still was in the top five scoring in offense under Ty Haley. Even though he got fired, I don't think the offense was never the problem.
Right.
Even last year when they lost to Jaguars, that problem was the defensive end.
That's a real scrap.
Yeah, it was. They were.
Them guys was hungry.
And they had the best.
They should have beat New England, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you're right.
But on Wrong Mind Sports, I just want to say one thing.
Yeah.
Watch out for the New York Giants.
I agree. But you know, you got to, in your conference, you know, you're in the NFC East, you got to go against the reigning, defending Super Bowl champs of Philadelphia Eagles with a healthy Carson Wentz comeback. How do you feel about it, since you want to talk about it?
F you do. Yeah, the Redskins. Sorry, Cowboys. You just had a hell of a year. But now you know what, you can game plan for them now, right? Because they come out of nowhere with this great year. But now, you know, people have been studying film on them all year. They're not going to do what they did next year. When you got a year, it's hard, you know, to compete, to have those two back-to-back great years. When teams got a whole year, whole summer to game plan for you and, you know, strategize, see what you had going on. It kind of just came out of nowhere. I don't think this year, I mean, they might win our division. I don't know, but I don't think they're going to go too far anyway.
I got you. In my conclusion, Raw Mind Sports, I appreciate TJ Harrell coming on the show. If anybody wants to come and debate, let him know. He'll let me know his schedule and what his favorite line always to me before we get on the show. If you think you got what it takes to beat him, come to the brick wall. Yeah, and good luck with that. But until the next show, you guys have a great day, night, whatever time you're watching this show. Be safe out there.